This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 305 of the Countdown Podcast, live from the Petri dish of Perth, Western Australia. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And yes, today it's a special topic, a special occasion, and it's going to happen in a bit of a rush because we're on a countdown here. No
literally.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Because in a couple of hours, we lock down for the next 5 days. So
we're back in lockdown, people, just like the rest of the world.
Yeah. And hopefully just for 5 days. But yep. We're about to sample some of the pain that the rest of Australia and a great deal of the world has been dealing with.
So serves me right for being complacent and giving out blowjobs. It just, you know, we should have been more careful.
I think you should always be more careful about who you give blowjobs to.
Yeah, it's one of my little loose things I do. Sorry, please, go. Please, please.
Today, though, is a topic which comes from listener and patron of the show, Tara Maholik, who suggested we do the top 10
needle drops
in film. So, songs not necessarily written for the movie.
I looked at a defo. You want to hear it?
Yeah, go.
A needle drop is slang used in the film industry to describe when a pre-existing song is used in a movie. In the best cases, the audio and video become intertwined to the point where people can't disassociate the song from the film.
There you go.
So
that's kind of the way that I roll with it.
A little bit.
All of these songs, I instantly think of these scenes now when I hear the song.
Absolutely.
If that makes any sense.
And me and him were already like giving like spoilers. Like we were humming the songs that we were thinking. It's like, oh, so that's on your list. So yeah, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, and where possible, we'll try and editing the music or a bit of the scene, depending on
we'll work it out. We'll work it out.
So make it a bit more entertaining. So that's the countdown at hand. We'll get there on the other side of this segment that we call the recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
From the mail room now, Polly.
Well, this one is all about last week's vote, the top 10 TV pilots.
I had a quick look at this, and if it's the right one, were we neck and neck at one stage?
We were very neck and neck. You were leading slightly, I caught up a little bit.
Huh.
And as of this moment, 32 votes apiece. It's the first draw, tie, if you will, of the season.
Well, so, that came early.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen very often. I think we had two in 1 year, so it's about the fourth or fifth time we've ever tied. So 32 votes each. Thank you to all the patrons and people. Good listeners to the show who voted in the Facebook listener community. Links in the show notes if you want to get involved in this part of the show. Some of the feedback from Jonathan Kidd. Paul, you can't diss Justified and get away with it. Rise up, Ollie Fanatics and Walton Goggles.
People.
Beta testing the second name. Troy Spinner agreed. The disrespect for Justified cannot stand. Vote Wayne.
See,
Troy,
my peeps are up in the hood here.
Troy from Comic Confidential Podcast, which I believe is making a long-awaited return in the next week or two. Josh Ragland said, I think I'll vote for the one who had lost number one. Oh, wait. Chris O'Neill said, I have to give it to Paul. Flight of the Conchords for the win. I think that's, you were justified, Flight of the Conchords. That's where the voting line seemed to be.
You can always split the Aussies versus the US peeps.
Well, Chris is actually from New Zealand, who lives in the US. So
when I say Aussie, I mean Australasia.
Yeah, so there we go. So no sympathy vote this week. Trendsetters, channeling Rodney Rood, he said. Samuel Joseph. Now, normally a card-carrying member of the Wayne voting block.
Which doesn't exist.
When you shat on 24 said, that's it, I now need to vote for Paul for the next month.
Fair enough, because there was never a block to start with. Word.
And John Amenta, he said, Wayne, he knows Justified is a great show, and I used to be a Paul guy too. So there you go. Some of the feedback there. Most of it, at least in the early written form for you. But anyway, managed to snake in there with a 32-all draw, making
I'm happy with that.
0-1 tie.
Sure, you keep count, bro.
On the year. on the year, dickhead.
I know, motherfucker. I stand resolute, motherfucker.
Please. All right, then, let's get into it then. Lots of music. And here's the first bit of it. The first music cue for this week's countdown. On the other side of this. Don't you Needle drop is the subject of this week's countdown. And Wayne, you mentioned how it's a pre-existing song. It's a song which gets associated with the scene itself. So you think of that one automatically. Did you have any other criteria by which you made this inspired?
The one thing I wondered about, and I included these, but like in theory, if you're playing a song over, say, an opening credit, that is still a needle drop, especially if the opening credit is sort of action filled.
I think if the opening credit has scenes, right?
It has. Yeah, yeah. If it's just like words, maybe not.
Yeah, no. If it's just credits.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be scenes. Yeah. Very important. Yes. Yeah. I think okay, I'm down with that then. Yes.
That works for me. And I also tended to steer clear, although a couple of my song, one at least I can think off the top of my head, kicks off before the end credits and the last bits of the last scene or two is the last scene of the film is to that song.
That's fine.
It continues into the credits.
That is fine. That is diegetic sound, where the thing that's playing becomes actually from the scene itself and then the characters react in real time.
No, they're not reacting. It's just that it carries...
Even so.
What I mean is it's just...
But to you it becomes like...
Yeah, well, as I said, associated with.
Exactly.
All right, so anything else you want to say about this one, Wayne?
Yeah, I want to tell you right now, people. I didn't put any Quentin in, man. All right? I didn't actively like exclude him, but I had to push him bottom, like, close. His stuff is great. It's fantastic. Clearly, Paul had a shit ton of it because he's playing like sound drops like a bitch. But
no Quentin.
No Quentin because... No, here's the thing. The theme and the mood of my list, you guys, you'll understand, okay? It's all my hokey shit. That's my hokey shit. Quentin's stuff is a little too fucking cool. This is the stuff I enjoyed. This is the things that made me go, ooh, and happy out with that shit. So that's me. And, you know, feel free to vote for Paul if that doesn't work for you.
What are you, a fucking moron?
You should lose just because of these cunt hair sounds, you fucking ass. All right, fuck. So
what? No.
I guess, bitch.
All right, well, shall I lead away then?
Please.
My number 10 is from... a film which I think you and I both very much enjoy.
Mm.
And it contains a lot of music in this film. It is from Edgar Wright.
Of course it's from Edgar Wright. You're going to have that cracker all over your titties.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Yep.
Because I wanted to make a rule I'd have one director or one film. Nah, fuck that. This list is too important to me.
Exactly.
In terms of the way the music works. And it comes from Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Mm, which one?
And I'm going with Black Sheep by the band Metric with vocals done by Brie Larson. And this is the one where...
Is she on stage and she busted out?
She's on stage, busted out. And what's his name from the old Clark Kent from Superman from Smallville?
Oh, Brandon Routh?
Yeah. He is.
Oh, he came in and he's the bad guy, the boyfriend he's got to fight?
Bass player. And so Scott Pilgrim and Ramona are sitting there. And he's like, oh no. Because he now recognizes that's his ex-girlfriend. It turns out the guy is her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, I see.
And it goes a little like this.
Bring it.
The guy on bass.
Oh yeah.
That's Todd.
I know.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Hello again, friend of a friend. I knew you were. Our common goal was waiting for the world to end. Now that
this is Brie Larson theme.
Right, and then we get into the chorus, which is pretty killer as well. But the reality
is... It's a nice little kick.
It's also the fact that during this whole scene, it's editing in as per the Edgar Wrightness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's the man for that, though. That's his whole directorship, man. That's his gig.
He's incredible. And so when it's like... it's got the split screen of like...
Yeah, it looks cool.
Scott Pilgrim, Ramona, and then...
This is one of the coolest looking films ever.
It's amazing. It's an amazing film. I watched this clip, obviously, in preparing for all this and listen to the song, and I'm like, I need to watch it again.
I've been doing that all week as well, so that's nice.
All right, that's my number 10.
My number 10 is much more accessible. it is, in fact, from one of my favorite comedies.
All the dicks.
This is the end, and
how close this was, if it's the one I'm thinking of?
It's got to be this one.
Is it at the end of the film?
Yes, motherfucker!
This is my 10 until I got shopped off late. It's my number 11.
You thought this was good? Because it was amazing. I thought it was amazing, but I didn't think you'd like it. It is, of course, from the Backdoor Boys, and it's Backstreet's Back, all right, with this at the end. Now, let me just set this up real quick, okay? At the end of the movie, spoilers, 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 everyone dies, they go to heaven. Now they find Seth Rogen and Jay Baruchel turn up at heaven. It's really cool. Spirit in the Sky is playing. And then...
Even that's a cool...
That is a really good one. It's almost... Really, and then, anyway, everyone's happy. They're having parties and shit. And then they turn out that, well, everything in heaven, if you imagine it, it turns up. And Jay Baruchel's like, anything? Sure, anything. Then he sort of looks away, wishes in his head, and then this happens.
Everybody, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rock your body.
What?
No fucking way.
Oh, yeah. That's your jam, baby. And the cool thing is they start dancing and the Backstreet Boys turn up.
Oh, my God, we're back again. Brothers, sisters, everybody say.
Don't deny you're nodding your head out there, people. You're nodding your damn head just like I am. I'm jazzing out here, and I loved this because it just made it down. You better answer now.
Yeah, look, I think it's also, you got to give some credit to the way this scene looks.
It looks amazing.
Like with the big flares and JJ Abrams
everyone's
flares.
Everyone's dressed in white. It's a white scene.
They've got some blue bits on their clothes.
Clouds. Like, you know. It's so cool, man. And then this happened because I was already loving the movie. Then this turns up and I'm like, what? Are they doing Backstreet Boys? Oh, shit. And then the Backstreet Boys turn up, even Kevin. And then
arguably, it's quite a dark film, but that this sort of sends you out, even though it's very funny all the way through. And I know it's a divisive film. You either love it or you hate it.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. That's what I'm told. But I can't see anyone hating this film. I don't understand why they would, unless they had problems with the devil's dick or something. So, you know, there you go.
Brian has zero problems with the devil's dick.
Anyway, yes. So, Backstreet Boys, Backstreet Backs, all right, from this is the end. My number 10.
I said my number 11, so great choice. I'm right behind
it. I'm amazed, my friend.
My number 9 is one that I was humming a little earlier.
No.
It's from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that's low.
And it introduces a character that we've all come to know and sometimes hate. Peter Quill, aka Star-Lord.
Aka the guy who fucked up.
How do you introduce yourself to a cosmic universe where a boy has just been taken from Earth and then flash forward, whatever it says, 30 years, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we get this song and him dancing to it. You cannot listen to this song and not think of that scene.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's him becoming a star, man. That's him becoming a fucking star.
Star Lord.
But like, I didn't understand, like, this is a perfect first note in a perfect note movie. That's the thing, right? He comes out, he puts the Walkman on, and it's an old ass Walkman, which is great, right? He's using broke ass headphones, even better, all right? And then the singing with the kicking and the dancing. The dancing is what sells it, man. Because he's like making it sweet, man. He's making it sweet.
And sometimes the audio podcast can't do visual medium justice. And that, you're probably right. It's
this
probably
is true.
One of those times.
Yeah. So yeah, good choice on my list. I think this is low.
We'll see how low or how red low it goes. That didn't work. Moving on.
Beautiful. My number 9, folks, is... now, this is an odd one here. It's from Watchmen. It is the opening scenes. The times they are changing.
Not one at all. I don't know if many people on this picked it, but I saw it in heaps of these lists that are online.
Let me tell you why this... Here's the thing, though, right? This is the only time I'm ever enjoying a Bob Dylan song sung by Bob Dylan. I'll tell you something about him. I like his stuff, but not when he does it. How about that? I only like Bob Dylan covers, because I went and saw him live one time. He was kind of an asshole, I'll be honest with you, right? He was. He wouldn't let the camera close in on him and shit. He'd fucking around with all of his songs when he was playing them. He's doing it for just to fuck with him, because he's an asshole. He's a known asshole. But here, in this Watchmen opener, where you've got slow-mo cool shit of people getting punched. That, for some reason or another, just... Like, I don't know. It made me like the song. Now, there's all slow-mo shit happening during this. That's all the banging and the thanging you're hearing. And it just kind of works, man. But I actually don't think it works as well, unless you can see it.
Fair enough. So, anyway. All right, well, so we'll turn that one down.
Yeah, it's otherwise, Bob Dylan is boring, but this is the one time he flew for me. So, there you go.
It's a great scene. Arguably the best in the entire film, which I know you love.
I love Watchmen. A lot of people hate it.
Another divisive
understand.
Film. Yeah, I guess I do fall in the middle category. I think it's good. I don't love it. I certainly don't hate it. I think it's got some really great moments.
Oh, yeah. I think it's
And
still,
this is one of them.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Nice choice. My number 8. Is a film which you'll know very well, Wayne.
Sure.
It comes from a song which everybody knows very well. But again, if you've seen the film, you will now equate this song with the film, despite how amazing / popular / enduring the Beatles have been. From 1986, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
What do you think Ferris is going to do?
It's going to be a frightful convenience.
The balls on this boy.
I was just driving out to this thing as you were playing it because this is totally on my list.
Ah,
absolutely,
nice.
Man. Do you remember when this movie came out, right?
I do.
And then I honestly, I may have heard that song before, but I didn't like it until that moment that I saw Ferris Bueller belting
like
it out.
Song?
I'm sure I've heard it, but it didn't register it. I didn't remember it. But then when I heard it again, I'm like, oh, this is the bomb. And then when you hear Paul McCartney's like raspy ass lyrics, I'm like, yeah, he's screaming that. And that became the movie, right? That became the scene in that movie.
Well, it's a big scene in the film. And I think
there's a lot of, yeah.
The fact that, yeah, again, he's playing hooky from school.
And he's on a parade.
And he just stands in the middle of a crowd parade. He don't give zero fucks.
And his dad's looking down.
He's looking down, doesn't even recognize you, which is, well, to be fair, I think he's a lot of stories up, but it's pretty funny.
No, he's got fucking.
And he would know where his dad works. Like, this is dad street. Eh, who cares?
Yes, he want to do it anyway. Yeah. That's it. And then we're
going
to
know some people don't like him because he's a cocky little prick, but.
In the 80s, it worked beautifully.
Oh, he was awesome. He was awesome. And that's why Twist and Shout is here for me at
absolutely.
My number 8.
Totally agree with that one. This is. You're, you know, it ain't all that edgy, your list. Just a little like mine.
Well, we've got two the same so far, so yeah. You're absolutely right. Okay. And your other one was my number 11. So far, we are right on the same.
I'm sure it'll all go south soon. This number 8 of mine is actually something to do. It's got something to do with Paul. Because ooh. I, when I saw this film and saw this movie and this sound, this song in it, Paul said he had not heard this song before, yet it is Tiny Dancer by Elton John in the movie
Sorry,
Almost
Tiny
Famous.
Dancer? Do you mean Tony Danza?
Tiny, you're a dickhead. Paul thinks that Hold Me Close, Young Tony Danza fucking bullshit Friends joke. It's still funny. It's not. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. Yes, people, in this film here. Now, look, this is a pretty obvious choice. I'll give you that, okay? Everyone talks about this because it's so damn awesome. This band, Stillwater, is in their bus and they've had a massive fight and everyone's fucked off and pissed off and they're about to fucking break up and it's all shit and they sit there and they're just not talking. Mm-hmm. Song comes on. Slowly yep. People start nodding, okay?
Humming.
By the end of the song, it's okay again.
Everyone's
for some reason, it. Music brought them together again.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Fucking beautiful, man. Hit it, Polly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the evening is over. We hope you all enjoyed yourselves, and we'll see you all again in 1974. Good evening!
Blue jean baby, L.A. lady, seamstress for the band. To see her dancing in the sand. Now she's in.
See, it's at this stage that they all start looking around and start to actually mouth along to it. And also, this is a fantastic fucking song. It's like one of the first songs I learned to play on the guitar.
Oh,
so,
very nice.
All good stuff. There you are. Almost Famous, Tiny Dancer, not Tony Danza. Who's the boss here?
As you can imagine, not on my list, but I do respect that particular
Everyone
choice.
Likes that one, right?
My number 7, now we get into some personal territory.
Deep cuts.
And I would say the top, yeah, there's a one more big surprising one which might be on your list, but mm-hmm. I would say other than that one big surprising one, which when I watched the scene again just elevated it up my list, I'll talk about when I get there.
Yeah.
This is where we first start to get to those ones that have a real personal kind of meaning. This song was from a band which lots of people love, and I was not into it all until I saw this scene in this movie.
I know what it is. I fucking know what it is.
Well, you might. And it's the end scene to a film.
Maybe not then. It's a
very good film, one which you and I enjoy greatly, which has grown in most people's estimation over the last 20-odd years.
Hmm.
It's from David Fincher. It's from Fight Club. It's the end of the film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pixies?
The Pixies. Where is my mind? And in this scene,
mm-hmm.
the narrator...
Yep.
We now learn, spoilers for a film that's 22 years old, that Tyler Durden's not real. It's a product of his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It is him. He is Tyler Durden. And he has managed to kill Tyler Durden by shooting himself in the mouth.
Right.
In a scene which I still don't, that part I don't particularly love. But
it
anyway.
Went through his mouth, through his cheek. It didn't actually take out his head, yep. So he's still yep. alive.
So anyway, what's her name? Martha?
Helena Bonham Carter?
Yeah. Martha, I think her name is in the film. Marla is brought to him by his goons and, you know, he's... They've set the charges. They're about
all
to
the buildings level around. Yep.
Wall Street, basically, and bring all the debt to zero and wipe everything out. And as he's standing saying, I'm all right. No, I'm really, trust me, everything's going to be fine. The music sort of kicks up a notch. Boom, the first explosion happens.
And you see them watching it through the window. Very cool.
And it sounds a little like this.
Trust me. Everything's going to be fine.
Thank you.
chills, man.
It was chills because you're watching that and he's already okay. And now you're watching potentially like just the actual, holy shit, he actually did it. Now these buildings are going down and it was gangster because of that song.
And then you get
song.
The one frame of cock.
Yeah, the cock. It's right. That was really funny, I thought. And that was cool, too. You know the Pixies? I went and saw them live one time.
So did
I. Yeah, that's right. Yes, this is some alternative shit on the 90s that I was never really into. My favorite song of theirs is Here Comes Your Man. Mm-hmm. But this one here, given how, I don't know, that guy's got a strong-ass voice. This was a good song. And the fact that it was so, like fucking distorted and stuff made it more kind of edgy.
It's a great song. Sorry for the loudness there. These YouTube clips are variable, so at the start of that one still. It's a fantastic song and it's an incredible scene, which ends a really great film. And so for mine, that's why I hit my number 7.
Nice work, son. My number 7 is, okay, so it's from Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. And it's the song Afternoon Delight.
Oh, it is.
Oh, dude. Now listen up, all right? First of all, everyone, just so you know, I dug Afternoon Delight before it was cool. I used to like it when I was 15. I once played it at work on my little tranny or my fucking thingy. Everyone freaked out and said, what the hell are you listening to that for? It is one of the most beautiful songs ever written. And Starland Vocal Band, rock.
So let's be very clear here. Wayne dug Afternoon Delights before anyone else knew of them.
Sure, it came along before me. But in this scene, you've got Ron who's talking to his three compatriots because he just had sex with Veronica, the what's her name?
Christina Applegate.
Christina Applegate character. And the only way he knows how to celebrate is to talk to them and sing a little Afternoon Delight. And they join in. And by the way, they can all carry a tune. The way it is kind of presented to you is excellent, man. Let's hear how it went, Polly.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be there anyway.
Oh, here's the falsetto.
Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together, making sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
You guys have it, I think.
Nice.
Afternoon delight.
So cool. So cool, man. Like, I always loved that. And the fact that I think there's one director who keeps putting it in his movies and stuff.
What?
Yeah, you hear Afternoon Delight in a lot of these comedies, man. I don't know what it is. It was in Starsky and Hutch. It was in a bunch of other ones. So, yeah, but I still love that song. I still love this scene most of all. By the way, this was my karaoke dream. If I could get up there and do this with a girl, like, let's do the female voice, and we nailed it perfectly, that's my karaoke dream.
What, you just need Paul?
Oh, Paul, Ant-Man.
Yeah, Rudd. Paul yeah. Rudd. And Brick Tanner.
Yes, totally. Well, I could, if I just had Steve one false intro, I reckon I could work it out. I've practiced it for fucking years. Anyway, go ahead, please. Afternoon
there you are. Now we know what Wayne does instead of watching films.
That's all right.
All right, my number 6 is another, again, real deep cut one. Mm-hmm. This is a song I previously already loved, but now in my head, when you hear this song, you envision this fight scene, and it does come from the very recent film from Taika Waititi, his choice to have Immigrant Song.
Yeah, I knew you'd have
in
this in here.
The Thor battles. It's in twice in the film.
Yeah.
But I'm specifically going with the battle scene. And just to give you a picture in your head, it's like, what were you the god of again? And so Hela is mocking him. Mm-hmm. And then the lightning starts to flame through him and into his eye socket, which has been carved out.
That's right.
And then he explodes Hela off him and then lands on the Bifrost in front of all the charging horde of her army and starts weighing in. I challenge you to listen to that song, and when he does the think of Thor.
We gotta do a video show because you should have seen Paul doing that. Whenever Paul lip syncs something or he just sings over something, there's a whole fucking face and shit that goes with it. It's great. It's fucking great. So I'm down with that. Absolutely, man. Yeah, that was great. It's not on my list, but I mean, I thought about it for sure.
That's why. Six.
And so my number 6 is Twist and Shout.
Oh, that's where it was for you.
Yeah. Ooh, so, true. You know, that's how much I love some Buell.
It's still higher on your list?
Uh-huh.
Excellent. Well, straight back to me for my number five. It's another Edgar Wright film. Two of them already in my first six choices. And it
not a surprise.
From the film Baby Driver.
Mm-hmm.
And it might just be one of the coolest ways to kick off a film ever.
When he's in the car?
From a song that I do not like except for, and this is the power of this movie. You would never have got me to listen to John Spencer Blues Explosion and Bell Buttons without this film. Them.
Yep.
And yet, here we are. Now,
so yeah,
can I just say, now then he starts singing at the next point because that's when the vocals come in.
Which is funny because he's like completely jumping into it.
Yeah, it stays with him that through the whole scene. We, the robbery, you only see from his point of view. He looks over and can see them firing a couple of guns into the... And then we get one of the greatest fucking car chases ever in cinema history.
Oh, it's cool.
So cool. Not hurt by the fact he's driving a red WRX.
Is it a Rex?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Beamer, but yeah, okay.
No, it's definitely a Rex. Yeah,
Paul has a Rex, everyone. Yeah. Fucking race boy, motherfucker.
So that also elevates it in my estimation, but this, to elevate a song, which I just think is to being a one I instantly go, oh yeah, turn it up anytime I hear it.
See, I'm hearing that now. I'm like, yeah, it's fucking cool because they're like swinging off the beat with it. It's real, real. Is it 70s? It sounds 70s-ish.
No, I think John Spencer's Blues Explosion is a recent band.
Really?
But they style themselves in that manner, obviously.
Cool. No, it sounds cool.
But what you don't see, what do you call it?
Diegetic sound.
Yeah, so this is the ultimate film for that. Like every beat is a cut. So, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Four of those. We got to see all four characters in the car. And then when they get out of the car, it's amazing.
Baby Driver was probably one of the coolest films I've ever seen. And then, like,
yep,
just with the really good music choices. You know, Paul has done this before, everyone. When we were kids, we went to see a movie called Pulp Fiction. And
on my honorable mentions.
Is it? Because Paul sat next to me and he was like, yo. Because I had seen it before, but then I went to see it with him for a second time. And then when Uma Thurman dances the girl, you'll be my asshole soon. Right. He leans over and goes, yeah, the music in this fucking sucks, right? Next fucking week I see him, he's got the CD single of that song, because that's how old we are. So the movie made him like it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Just like this one, probably.
Yeah, and obviously I've now learned how wrong I was about Tarantino and the way his music worked. But back then... I was but a young man.
Oh, yes.
All right, your five, sir.
My number five has been with me for years. Now, there's a movie called Donnie Darko, and I never fucking watched it for years and years and years, and then I watched it because of this show. I am talking about... This is so... I just love this, okay? Head Over Heels by Tears for Fears.
Yeah, okay.
Now, when Jake Gyllenhaal gets off the bus, because this kid's in high school and that sort of thing, and they're just getting off the bus, and this it starts with the piano chords and stuff like that. It is so loud, and for some reason I adored it, and it made me go download a shit ton of Tears of Fears for Fears song, and I'm not actually sure why it works so well, but it's one that I've always remembered. Imagine a school bus, you know, people getting off it and going into class in a sort of dankly lit scene. This is what you hear. Takes over the whole thing. Not for you.
I don't think so. I think the shot's nice. It's all one shot.
It's actually that's
up
a beautiful
and slow
shot.
Down and all the rest of that stuff. I appreciate that part of it, but the song itself, I'm surprised, to be honest.
You know what? This was the Tears for Fears before the album you liked, which was the Sowing the Seeds of Love.
body.
That's this album. That's this album. Yeah, okay. But then the song I remember you digging like all those.
My favorite.
Yeah. So, but then I remember actually for some reason, because I didn't really necessarily care for this song until I saw it in this film. And Roger Ebert, by the way, famously gave this movie a thumbs down and didn't like all of the sound drops. He then went back and watched it again and gave it a thumbs up.
Right.
Yeah. So it's Donnie Darko has. I do like Donnie Darko, but I love this song in this scene, and I kind of like just the music all over the movie. Really cool.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, if it struck you or struck a chord for you, then deny that at all. Well, here is my big surprise. I wonder if it'll be in your top four, because this is obviously now my number four.
It's an NSYNC number, isn't it?
No. It's actually from Hall & Oates.
Oh, shit. That's better.
And it's from a band or from a film called 500 Days of Summer.
Of course, man.
Is this in your list?
It's not. I left it because I knew you would mention this one. Okay. Yeah, I did. And please, hit it, because tell us, set it up.
Basically, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's
just had some sex.
Yeah, he's just had sex, and he slept with Zooey Deschanel, and the song kicks off where he turns the light off and walks into the room, and then cut. We don't see any sex at all, because it's not that kind of film. It cuts to him walking out of her building.
Yeah, leaving the next day.
And stopping in front of the camera for the pause in the song that we'll hear in just a moment.
That's right.
A big smile, and he turns and starts walking. And then everybody's getting involved. Everyone's high-fiving him, shaking his hand, smiling at him.
Because that's how men feel after you put a load in someone. It's just like, for the first time, someone you've really chased, you walk in. And it's daytime as well, which means you got to stay the night. Which means he's in love, man. Yeah. He's in love if you're happy that you stay the night.
The opposite of the walk of shame.
Absolutely. Men don't do that. Men do the walk of pride, even if we dick is still out and shit. So... Yo, you got the same clothes on. I guess someone got some ass. Yes, sir, I did.
So let's better get a bit of a sample of You Make My Dreams Come True.
Hit it.
What I want, you've got, and it might be hard to handle. Like a flame that burns a candle. The candle feeds the flame. And what I got, full stock of thoughts and dreams to scatter. And you pull them all together. And how I can explain. Oh, yeah, well.
There we are. That one has a real impact, and I think the scene itself is so well constructed.
Beautiful.
It's boring on a musical, but it doesn't quite get there.
Yes, because no one's singing.
Clearly in his head.
That's right, and that's why it's cool. But you know, I'll tell you something else. Daryl Hall is one of the best voices ever, right? He's the shit, and he made this song by just... He walked up to a piano, which he didn't change any of the settings. He just started playing this, and they're like, what is that? And then that's how this song became born.
Sickening, isn't it? How talented some
people
are.
It's fucking disgusting. But yeah, it's a really cool, fun song. I love Hall & Oates, man. I love Hall & Oates.
So there we go. Hall & Oates, my number four. Wayne, what is yours?
My number four is actually Come and Get Your Love from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, here's where it is.
I'll tell you something, though, about this. Like, you know,
you do it while I hum.
that would have been fine. I think it was whatever the last Avengers movie was, or the last one of them, where Don Cheadle's actually looking at Chris Pratt doing this, and it's from outside. You don't hear any of the music. It just sounds and looks stupid because he's dancing by, and you can't hear any of the music. And it's like, so he's an idiot. That's really cool little trick that they played on. You're like, oh yeah, this is what it's like when you're not a fanboy.
All right, top three, getting pretty personal now.
Oh yeah,
This one had to be on my list, and you know this one was going to be on my list. This defined a generation, Wayne. It defined our group of friends. Not defined, but it characterized our group of friends for a long, long time.
A wet, wet, wet
You
song?
Couldn't put this song on and not have somebody start headbanging and everybody else.
Oh, I knew this would be on your list.
Into line.
It's on my list again, because I knew it would be on yours. We don't know enough cross-ups. Please.
Well, of course, talking please. Wayne's World, Bohemian Rhapsody, the scene made iconic at the start of the film where they're all picking up each other and driving along, and then... He just puts, I'm going to go with a bit of Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen. Oh, that sounds good. Puts it in. And off they start mouthing the song. And they pick up their drunk friend, Phil. Mm-hmm. And one of the funniest bits of the entire film is it reinvigorates Phil.
Phil, because he's like catatonic and then the song comes on.
It makes me laugh every single time. So here it is. Just a little needle drop, a little bit of it. Obviously, not going to do the whole song. Bohemian Rhapsody. And just... If you're young, you don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
We used to headbang proper like they did, and like actually had a headache afterwards because we do it for the whole fucking song.
How about this? If you're younger than the age of 30, your job when listening to this is to headbang through this sequence.
In time.
Without fucking getting to specify it. I'm leaving it here.
Suck my dick.
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia. Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub.
comes the headbanger, folks. If only you could all see Paul air drumming just the whole thing. It was nuts. And I just fucking broke my dick muscle fucking banging my head that whole time. So, yeah.
Well, if you bang on your dick, that will break your dick muscle.
You it's very late for me to be getting this information.
All right, that's my three. What about yours?
Oh, dude. I got a song here from a film that we've already discussed, and it's in the same film.
Holy shit.
Dude, it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but the song is Oh Yeah by Yellow. Okay, so... Let me tell you, the scene in question is where Cameron is showing Ferris his dad's, like, Ferrari-ass, like, rare-ass car, and as they sort of talk about its attributes, you hear, Oh Yeah, in the background. This caused me to remember the scene purely for that. And let me tell you, if you hear this song out there, there's no way after the ch-ch-ca, you don't do bow, bow. Okay, you always do it.
Yeah, but is that the film's fault, or is that the song's catchiness?
Look, the song is in its way amazing, but I never would have come across it. I remember watching the music video of the song, which is weird, by the way. You should look it up. And my dad was like...
It's by Yellow.
Yellow, that's right. And then, and my dad's going, who's that fuck with going, Oh Yeah? But he said it with a smile, which means he found it amusing. This is a good song.
The 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California. Less than 100 were made. My father spent 3 years restoring this car. It is his love. It is his passion.
It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
So. Ferris, what are you talking about? Ferris, my father loves this car more than life itself.
A man with priorities so far out of whack doesn't deserve such a fine automobile.
Oh, yeah.
No, no.
Apparently, there it is. You know what I'm saying? And it made the car more attractive, frankly. Because it was just like, look at this shit, right? And I guess the audacity of Oh Yeah being your fucking, I guess, vocal bass line in the whole song tickled me. Tickled
yeah, it's great.
Everyone still likes it, right?
Pretty sure it plays over the end credits as well when Rooney is getting on the bus with all the kids.
Yeah. I think it does too, which means it's versatile. So yeah, Oh Yeah by Yellow. Oh yeah.
Very nice, very nice. All right, my number two. Getting right down to it now.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one that everyone predicted would be my number one, I believe, based on the Facebook listener community feedback. It's another QT one. It's from my favorite Quentin Tarantino film. Let that sink in for a moment as I announce it to be Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, big shock, this one.
And stuck in the middle with
of
you.
Of course, motherfucker.
It is, of course. I'm not going to play it now. It's so iconic. Maybe we'll go out in this particular
song. Let me tell
you
something, folks. Paul and his and my friends and the other friends took me out to see Reservoir Dogs back in the what? 19, whatever
we
it was.
We just turned 18 with this camera.
Yeah, man, right? So he's like, yo, let's go to this fucking art house cinema. Let's check this out. I'm like, oh, who's in this film? They're like, no one famous, man. Which was true at the time.
Harvey Keitel.
Harvey, basically, maybe. But like, and then we walk in and I'm like, oh, what's this kind of shit? Great film. Then this scene comes on and I shit my pants because it absolutely made me clench all my rectums. Fucking,
all of them.
Yeah, and they of course laughed at me. So please.
Yeah, basically it follows the psychopathic Mr. Blonde. They have a cop that they have taken hostage, mm-hmm. and he wants to know who the rat
horrendous.
Is amongst the group, and he proceeds to start torturing him while this song plays. And it's such a juxtaposition or a dichotomy, the opposite side. Like,
absolutely.
This is a happy bubblegum sort of classic from the 70s. It's played on the radio station that plays throughout Reservoir Dogs, K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s weekend with Steve Wright, I believe, is the DJ. And in effect... When this comes out, it just doesn't work. Like, there's this graphic violence. And even though there's an infamous scene where he cuts off the cop's ear with a razor blade.
Off screen.
It happens off screen. Though you ask most people and they'll tell you how graphic it was.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah. And I remember that was the bit where it actually just slowly pans around.
Yep. Pans off to the left.
This is a master. Back. If he had this in his head, which he obviously did, that is fucking pure talent to create this like this and make it work like this.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Please.
Very nice. No, there it is. That's my number two. As I said, we'll hold it for the end. We'll go out on this particular song. All right. Your number two.
My number two is, I've spoken about this before, guys, but I couldn't leave it off the list because I do think it's actually the best song that was ever put in a movie in terms of how it...
But it's not your number one.
No, because it's not my favorite.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So this is A Real Hero by I'm so sorry, I don't know who these cunts are. Wait, hang on one sec. Oh, it's like Sonic Youth and shit, but it was in the movie Drive.
No, it's not by Sonic Youth.
I'm sure Sonic Youth is up in there. Hang on. Give me a sec, folks.
Dynamite drop in money. The broadcast school has really paid off.
It's Electric Youth.
Fucking cool thing rang and wants its band back.
Well, let me tell you something, folks. I did not like this movie initially. I had to revisit it because of the show. Then
he's a growing appreciation for it?
I am.
I just got through saying how much you still hate this film, and it's partly the reason I love it so much.
Well, fuck you, because I kind of like it. Now that I realize what it's about, right? And this song that comes in, the movie itself is about Ryan Gosling, who's a driver, and he's a bit of a bad guy, but he's not really that bad, and he thinks he's a good guy. He's trying to become a better person, and the song is called A Real Hero. And it's kind of because the character is doing that. Youth? Yeah, it's actually a collab, that's right. So Electric Youth and some other folks. But this, I do believe, is the most atmospheric song that makes me feel like kind of, I don't know why, but it's kind of makes me feel like a kid. It seems like almost a manga type song you might see at the end of one of your kid shows that you saw as a kid, but this is what it sounds like. Go ahead, Polly.
Beautiful song.
It's a beautiful ass song. And for some reason, it's oddly uplifting.
It plays twice.
It plays at the very end. Yeah,
at
the very end. And the first time it plays, he's actually sort of falling in love with the Carrie Mulligan character. And yeah, it's really this idyllic, beautifully lit him and her son. And they're hanging out and they're driving and they're talking. And that's where he started falling in love with her. So it really, I don't know, it kind of, again, it means I love this song. I just love it.
Very nice choice. I enjoy it greatly as well. I did revisit it for this list.
Yeah.
Didn't quite crack it, but
close.
Respect the choice. All right, so to do the recap then, 10 through 2 before revealing our number 1, our greatest ever needle drop in film. My number 10 is from Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It's Black Sheep as the song from Metric, which is a great song on its own, but then in this particular version, it has Brie Larson on vocals. From Guardians of the Galaxy, Peter Quill's intro, Redbone, Come and Get Your Love. From Ferris Bueller's Day Off at number 8, Twist and Shout by the Beatles, with Ferris lip-syncing his way through that particular performance. From Fight Club at number 7, Where Is My Mind by the Pixies at the very end of the film. Number 6, the climactic battle scene in Thor Ragnarok featuring Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song, which is about fucking about Vikings, for God's sake. how apt is that song? I forgot to mention that before.
Sure.
Number 5, another Edgar Wright joint, Baby Driver, gets featured with Bell Bottoms from the very start of the film, from the John Spencer Blues Explosion. Number 4, maybe the most out of character song on my list, from Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams Come True.
Good to see.
500 Days of Summer. Number 3, from Wayne's World, Bohemian Rhapsody, the headbanging scene as by Queen, of course. Number 2, Steeler's Wheel. Didn't even mention the name of the band, or so caught up in the scene. Stuck in the Middle with You from Reservoir Dogs at number 2. And Edgar Wright caps it off for me with my number 1.
I know which one.
Do you know what it is, Wayne?
Oh, yes, I do know what it is. I'll tell you right now.
Go on.
It's from fucking that Shaun of the Dead movie, and it's fucking that Queen song called Don't Stop Me Now, Us
it
Now.
Is.
Yes, that's what it is.
Where the hell did he come from?
I don't know.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself.
Well, who the hell put this on? Some random.
For fuck's sake.
Okay, Diane, get them somewhere safe. David, kill the Queen. Watch the jukebox. Liz, Ed, grab some weaponry.
What about a rifle?
It's not real. Cocktails.
What do you mean?
The flaming spirits, Trambuie, Sambuca, Brandy, get a racket. Light it. What? The whole place could go up.
What then?
How about pool? Okay, John, it's time at the bar.
Now, I included the actual
sound. This is
what
they're
hitting.
They're hitting zombies to the time.
It's one zombie. It's the guy who's. It's the bar owner of the place they always go to drink, and he comes out from behind the bar. And what makes that film again, genius, is the fact it's cut to, like, the action's cut to the music again. It's like kind of an early precursor to Baby Driver from Edgar Wright.
Was the camera spinning around them? Yeah, that's really good.
That's why the meaty thunks are in there, the bassy thumps that you heard on that particular sample. It's such an amazing scene. And I like Queen anyway.
Yeah, you do.
But this film elevated Queen in my estimation. Between this and Bohemian Rhapsody, which you've heard. So I've got two Queen songs in my top three. Goes to show how much I love the Queen.
Okay. Ironically, because you are the Queen.
There we are. All right, Wayne, give us your 10 through 2 and then reveal your number 1.
Coolio. 10's Backstreet Back, All Right, by all this right. From This to the End. All right. Fucking The Times They Are Changing for Watchmen at number 9. 8, we got Timey Dancer from Almost Famous. 7, Afternoon Delight by from The Anchorman. 6, Twist and Shout, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. 5, Head Over Heels.
You're giving the bands that give the songs.
Huh?
Your research.
I'm giving you the
inferior.
Song in the movie. Song in the movie. Your shit took forever.
But was accurate.
Yeah, it took forever, though.
Why not shit anywhere, ladies and gentlemen?
Number 5, Head Over Heels by Tears for Flaps, if you like.
Thank you.
In Donnie Darko. Come and Get Your Love by Redbone from Guardians of the Galaxy at 4. 3, Oh Yeah by Yellow in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yeah.
Ow, ow. Chica. Anyway.
I was supposed to go again, right?
I was going to go, doo. Anyway, sorry. Number 2, A Real Hero from a bunch of people, apparently, but in Drive.
Not Sonic Youth.
Yes, Electric Youth and those other folks.
College.
There you go. And my number 1, people. I have chat myself about this movie and this scene for many a year, and it's just that it's, it's a juxtaposition because it's actually a horrible scene, but they play an uplifting song. It's the An Ordinary World song by Duran Duran in the film Layer Cake. Now,
This is taking me by a complete surprise.
This has always been like, holy shit, this is what made this movie good. Check it out, right? Daniel Craig and the other dude, they're talking to some dude in a diner. Shit goes south, and then the not Daniel Craig dude gets up, smacks, and starts beating the piss out of this dude they're talking to, who's a homeless dude that they were having breakfast with. No reason at all, really. I'm not sure. He then, at the end, goes and fucking grabs this teacup. That's a tea kettle, and pours boiling water on his head. Just fucks him to pieces.
Apparently, I'm just reading the first comment here because I enjoy it, but it's a long time since I've seen it. So the man who ate like a pig and asked for money was someone who put the aggressor in prison for 10 years and simply came in and acted like it never happened.
That's why he got beat up.
He deserved that ass kicking.
Yeah. Oh, dude, but it's the worst thing you've ever seen, right? And as this happens, you know, James Bond, he fucking gets up and leaves and he's like, holy shit, what's going on here? And this plays in the background. There's a very spinny shot afterwards and it's dead cool. Give it a try. It's actually my favorite Duran Duran song.
Well, clearly, being up this high as your number one needle drop, let's give it a bash.
They're doing that.
You need a red light.
He's sound engineering it so that you're cutting back and forth between scenes, but it's
There's another scene with a couple of people. A
couple of people getting mowed down, and it's just showing how this nasty shit is happening. But that song is actually, I love that song. It's big and swells and nice and stuff. It made it sort of dark, really dark, because you're hearing this uplifting song, but it's a horrible scene. So yeah, Ordinary World from Duran Duran. Layer Cake.
Number one.
My favorite.
Complete surprise.
Odd one, I'm telling you. No, it's an odd list.
We started similar, and then we diverged pretty hard later in the list. Any honorable mentions, Wayne, before we get over to the listener community for their feedback?
Boatloads. Angel of the Morning and that Deadpool. Remember when it opened up? That was
sure
so
do.
Cool.
Yep.
Love Me in Cruel Intentions. When he hit that, you've had to see the scene. You would have hated it. Dry the Rain by the Beta Man in High Fidelity when he sells, I will now sell fucking 10 copies of this.
I need to watch that again.
Very, very cool. And The Sound of Silence in The Graduate, I quite liked.
Oh, yeah. That's a big, big known one as well.
Yeah.
For me, I had, apart from Backstreet's Back, which, as I said, was my number 11, I had Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
Beautiful.
From, of
Breakfast
course,
Club.
The Breakfast Club. You know, a couple of times, but particularly at the end when...
The punch? The hand punch?
The Breakfast Club, and then Judd Nelson's Katie Walks on. Which, the scuttlebutt was that they refused to write or to do that recording, and it went around the traps in the music industry, and it came back to them like, oh, fucking whatever, we'll do it. Then it became their biggest hit. No, they wrote this. I think this might not be the case.
Yeah.
It technically makes Needle Drops because it was written for the film.
It wasn't a prequel.
Doesn't matter.
What you
it's
mean.
My number 12. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's fine.
And my number 13, as mentioned, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon by Urge. from Pulp Fiction.
Made it all the way up here.
Yeah, there we go. That's the extent of my list. All right, so that's our list. What about yours? We wrap up every show with what you've had to say on the topic at hand. It's like with the week or the Pop 10. Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with a Dan Brennick from the Netflix and Swill podcast. Good mate, who said, this is going to get beyond Gerald from Two Peas on a Podcast's good side, but toxic in Promising Young Woman, which, as it happens to be, the film we'll be reviewing this weekend was his choice. And Gerald, of course, responded, yes, Dan.
Toxic by Britney Spears is a perfect pop song.
Well, it works really well in the film.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
I will 100% agree. Good choice there, gentlemen. Philip Wilson said, Donnie Darko, Tears for Fears again, Head Over Heels.
Boom.
There you go. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Metric, Black Sheep for moi. And Office Space, Ghetto Boys, Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster.
You know what? I should have thought of that one because that is a really good call.
I thought that would be on your list. Aaron Dundee, again, all these responses this week from the Facebook community. That's where you need to be if you want to communicate with us and get yourself heard on the podcast. Number three, Stuck in the Middle with You, the ear-cutting scene from Reservoir Dogs. Yeah, Aaron.
There it is.
Number two, Free Bird, Church Fight Scene from Kingsman.
Yeah, I thought about
I would have that on there because that seems incredible.
It's just that I don't remember the song so well because it's just like action.
I'm not as big a Free Bird fan.
Leonard Skinner, yeah. It's like, yeah.
It's a little before our time. And number one, Where Is My Mind? The final scene from Fight Club. Thank you, Aaron. Nicole Davis said, do songs written specifically for the film count? If so, Prince of the Universe at the beginning of Highlander. If not, Club to Death by Rob Dugan in The Matrix.
Damn.
Great song. I really like that one. In fact, I might kick off the episode with that if I remember. You can't always get what you want. Making the smooth shift from diegetic to non-diegetic near the start of The Big Chill.
Who's this person who knows a lot of shit about stuff?
Nicole. Very
cool, Nicole.
And her number one, the Immigrant Song, dropped in for the climactic battle in Thor Ragnarok. It's a little on the nose, but I forgive it. Me too, Nicole. Me too. Kristen Icaro said, Captain Marvel's just a girl, no doubt. Speaking of a little on the nose.
Yeah, it's so on the nose. Don't let me think about it, right? Because there's a fight scene and there's a jukebox and then she's a girl. I'm just a girl. Yeah. Okay.
But I get it. It works.
I know. Well. I totally get it.
Easy from Easy A Pocket Full of Sunshine from Natasha Bedingfield. I don't know that song.
I love that girl, though.
Okay. And Guardians Volume 2, Mr. Blue Sky at the start of the film, Electric Light Orchestra.
Totally.
It's a great song. Great use of that song in that scene. Luke James Heumann had Crazy by Seal and Clockers, where crack addict Errol is lecturing Strike. Couldn't tell you that one.
Got you then, yeah.
House of Rising Sun, of course, by the Animals in Casino during the cleanup sequence. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I Gotcha. By Joe Tex when pulling the cop out of the car in Reservoir Dogs. So again, QT gets a mention.
Hearing Paul Grant always makes the episode worthwhile.
not any bingo sheet for the show, though. Grant Lantham had number three, Watership Down, Bright Eyes, Sad as Fuck.
Beautiful. Fuck, man! So I still cry like a fucking bitch when I hear that. So cool.
You can't handle
I
the
absolutely
truth.
Cannot. Rabbit's getting scratched and shit is fucked up.
From Once, which is an awesome Irish movie about a singer. It is a good film. Say It to Me Now, which is largely written. Oh, he says Glenn Hansen, but I'm sure the lady in it also gets a credit.
Mm.
Can't remember her name. Sorry, off the top of my head.
Okay.
And from Filth, the one that we recently reviewed for
James
the patrons.
McAvoy, yeah.
Creep, as sung by Elliot Sumner, who's the son of Sting. I did not know that.
I didn't even know that guy had a career. There you go.
Yeah. Antoine had Fight the Power and Do the Right Thing. Huey Lewis and the News is hip to be square in American Psycho.
Pretty great. Yeah, I thought about it.
Of course, being Rhapsody in Wayne's World is his number one. High-level patron Chris Yeaney, good support of the show. Thank you, Chris. In Your Eyes from Say Anything, that's a big one, which
fucking
is on great. All the
I lists. Totally thought of that one.
I think that would work better for me if she actually fucking responded. But it was the rolling ghetto. Over in bed.
I know.
What girl from the 80s didn't want someone with a boombox outside their window?
Especially if it was John Cusack. Yeah. That guy was the 80s dude.
He was. You've lost that love and feeling from Top Gun.
Nice.
And Dale. my voice cracked there. How do we do that again? Dale.
Oh, well, that's much better.
From Beetlejuice.
Harry Belafonte. Nice
thank
work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nice
it's not written here and I did not know the name at all. Last two then from Josh Ragland, who has put together a scavenger hunt on Letterboxd for the community, basically.
Yeah,
so
it's very cool.
Get involved if you watch films and you log them on Letterboxd. Have a look through the list there. In fact, maybe I'll put the list on this episode in the show notes so that you can get involved.
Cool.
Not too late. And I've arranged with Josh. We'll have a little bit of a prize pack or two for people who complete at the end. You have to, we'll put them in a drawer and yeah.
Cool moves.
Number three, Don't You Forget About Me, Breakfast Club. Boom. Number two, Don't Stop Me Now, Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, my personal favorite scene in any movie. Ugh. Good call, Josh. And number one, Stuck in the Middle, Reservoir Dogs. I look forward to at least vote.
That's getting voted
week.
On.
And lastly, from the woman herself who made it this week possible, from Tara Maholic, In Your Eyes on Say Anything.
Beautiful.
Number two, Immigrant Song on Thor Ragnarok. And number one, from Shaun of the Dead, Kirkcraft 400, not Don't Stop Me Now.
What was that one?
I do not know.
You don't know? You've seen, you fucked that movie.
I've listened to the soundtrack 100 times, but I don't remember which one that particular one is. I could go Google it now.
It's all good.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You recognizing it? Not so far? Not so far? Okay.
I don't think it's on the soundtrack, but okay, well done, Tara. There you go. That is the listener feedback for this week's show. Episode 305 is done. Wayne, how do the listeners give us their feedback on the show, or indeed chime in on the topics at hand?
Google the Countdown Podcast, get all our socials, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on Podbean, where we host. Then you can check that out, podbean.com, or get the app / do it that way. Facebook's community, links in the show, has mentioned it 15 times today. And finally, ccradio.com.au for ourselves and some other great Aussie podcasts.
The word.
All right, Wayne, we need to wrap it up fast because I can get home. I'm also going to be wearing a mask to walk the streets, and then I'm not sure podcast is essential business.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to sell that. So, absolutely.
What's happening for episode 306 on the countdown?
I was trying to find it while you were talking, and I'm just not good with this goddamn iPad. So, why don't you tell me?
Well, for episode 306, we are going to do the top 10 nerdgasm moments in history. Yes. And obviously, it's going to be very superhero heavy, maybe Star Wars heavy.
Yes.
The moments that you got chills from because that inner nerd in you was suddenly jerked off.
Yes, the fan service-ness grabbed your cock and pulled.
Yeah, you were so happy for that. Whatever thing you've been looking for to happen, happened.
Yes, and if you're a girl, clammed your slam. Whatever. The point is, slammed your clam. So anyway... Jesus. Okay. Paul's still laughing.
Slammed your slam.
Slammed your clam is what I meant to say. And, you know, it doesn't always work out like this, people.
And on that bombshell.
Flag, the CD of pants, she let it happen.
It doesn't get any worse / more symptomatic of the countdown than that. Oh, I hope that's not a word I used prophetically. That is it. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck The Soundboard.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Stop denigrating the soundboard. How dare you, sir?
Fuck off.
Buddy, I love you so damn much, I'd have to kill you, bro.
Just calm down, soundboard. It's all right. We don't need to get that far. Yeah, we will catch you next time.
See ya.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.